Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. You're listening to the Nafs Connection podcast, and this is your host, Seema Umrayyan. I'm a certified professional life coach and founder of the Level 10 Muslima Life Coaching. Through my work, I wish to see you as an empowered Muslim woman who is deeply connected with Allah, develop the ability to identify the potential roadblocks in your growth, and not just generate an awareness of your state of Iman, but also take inspired action in that direction so you may build a better relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yourself and the people in your life, inshallah. You are listening to the Spiritual Journey Stories series, a series of podcast interviews with women just like you and I from all walks of life, sharing their spiritual journeys and their connection with Allah to inspire you wherever you may be in your own spiritual journey, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear listeners. Today I have with me Sister Helen Rose. She's a medical doctor, clinical anatomist. She is a revered Muslima and she's passionate about community service, including breast cancer awareness. So I'll just pass on to her so that she can elaborate on her introduction, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Helen.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, dear Sister Seema, for this introduction. I am working as an assistant professor in anatomy, mm-hmm. and I'm also the community coordinator for the medicine program mm-hmm. for Ibn Sina National College for Medical Studies in Jeddah, mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia, for the past 8 years. Mm-hmm. I have co-authored a book, Know Your Breast, along with my husband, mm-hmm. Dr. Subhan Muhammad Ghaus. Mm-hmm. And we have also published international research papers, especially in medical education, tertiary education, and anatomy. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about organizing and supervising community services to mm-hmm. promote health, mm-hmm. and especially breast health mm-hmm. related to breast cancer awareness.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek. That's really commendable work that you're doing, mashallah. Allahumma barik. Ameen. So, inshallah, let's just dive right into this, the context of this podcast, inshallah, which is spiritual journey story. So, I'm really interested to know, like, you know, what was your first introduction or your earliest understanding of who Allah is?
I have had a Christian upbringing. Mm-hmm. And I come from the Orthodox Christian, so they are quite very strong believers, and I used to be regularly going to the Sunday classes. Mm-hmm. I was brought up in Dubai, by the way, mm-hmm. and I had a lot of Muslim friends, but none of them really did tell me anything about Islam. Mm-hmm. And then I continued my studies, and I got married to this Muslim brother. Mm-hmm. At the age of 24, mm-hmm. and he was also not practicing Islam very well, mm-hmm. So he never asked me to come to Islam, or to he never showed me anything good about Islam. He asked me to follow whatever I'm doing, and he was following the same, because as you know that the ayah says that a Muslim man can get married to a Christian woman mm-hmm. and a Jewish woman. So with this basis, we got married. Then after 6 years, he got the opportunity for going for Hajj. And after that, alhamdulillah, he got the hidayah first, I should say. He was in like a Jummah goer before. But once he saw the Kaaba, and his heart really melted. And it was one of his dua at the Kaaba that my heart should change. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, after he came back, it was quite a shock for me in the beginning, because everything had changed about him. He cut his pants, he grew beard, everything was different about him. Mm-hmm. But then I slowly started to read about Islam. I listened to a lot of lectures, mm-hmm. and slowly I believe my heart started opening up. Mm-hmm. And then I accepted Islam. So at the age of 30 years, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. But even when I was a Christian, there was, you know, I don't know, maybe parts of, you know, Tawheed within me, maybe. Because there was this very a very nice song I used to kind of recite. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me like this. You know, I used to always ask the Lord for guidance in my life. So maybe it was somewhere that he heard my prayers.
Alhamdulillah. It's amazing that, you know, as long as that recognition of God is there within your heart, like, you know, and you ask sincerely for guidance and then he provides you with that guidance, right? Subhanallah. It's like,
no, it's always whenever I look back to my life, I never expected that or thought that I would become a Muslim. And how he chose me from that lifestyle and he brought me to the light of Islam, and I just feel I feel very much humbled, and because it's only by his will that this has happened. That's all I could say. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because subhanallah, it's like, it's such a, it's so inspiring, like, you know, that Allah always, like, especially like when I heard about your husband, like how he was guided, and then through him, the guidance was just was passed on to you in a way, right? Subhanallah. I think even for myself, in spite of being a born Muslim, I wasn't practicing. So let's say, like, you know, at one point I was guided and then I started practicing, and subhanallah, when I was learning, I realized that, I mean, I read it at some place. I don't even remember where I read this, but then I read that, like, you know, when you are guided, it's like the guidance is like a fragrance, and, like, you know, whoever is comes into contact with that, they are also guided in a way, subhanallah. And I've actually seen that, you know, happen too within my own life. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah. So, like, if you can say, like, you know, in this journey, that whatever happened, like, you know, with you in that guidance, and like in that journey, was there any particular incident or a moment for you, you know, that you felt like was like a pivotal moment for you, like, you know, like, okay, this is what, like, shifted for me, and now, like, I know that this is the true path. Did you have a moment like that?
Truly speaking, see, when I accepted Islam, I couldn't say that, you know, I knew everything and then I accepted Islam.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, it was kind of, you know, my husband, once he accepted Islam or he got his guidance,
mm-hmm.
He was a little, you know, a little tough on me, I could say. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, I mean, you have to revert to Islam. You know, he didn't give me much of a time to learn things. Anyway, alhamdulillah, after I came in, and I also had my son, he was born like 1 year after my marriage. Mm-hmm. So he was also one of the reasons he kept saying, you know, like, you know, mama, please try to learn more and try to do more. He's quite young. He was only 6 years old, because he didn't want any other issues happening in the family. But alhamdulillah, then slowly, like, I feel maybe it was me who, like, I started opening my heart. I started listening to things, and it did make a lot of sense to me. I'm quite a logical person. When I used to hear a lot of lectures, even by Dr. Zakir Naik, and, you know, the places where he tells the basic differences between the Christian and the Muslim belief.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had just few issues. Like, it was Isa alayhi salam. He's not the son. He's not... he's just the prophet, and he was not crucified. So these are few of the few of the points, or few of the guidance. You know, once I got it cleared, I felt it was quite clear for me. Even the point where it's mentioned that Isa alayhi salam told that after him there is going to be another comforter who's going to come to the world and spread the message of peace. So this knowledge, I think most of the Christians don't know. Okay. And it was quite something very, very, I don't know how to say, but because throughout our life, we've been only hearing that it's the Holy Spirit who's going to come and give the message. So that was quite an enlightening point for me. And then it also made sense that, like, you know, we're just brothers from Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's from Adam alayhi salam till here, all of us are just the same, you know, same kind of lineage. Mm. So, alhamdulillah, you know, like, it's Allah who opens the heart. And once I started accepting, like, I believe this hadith a lot. It's a long hadith. You know, the one which says that whoever comes to me walking, I will come to him running. Okay, the hadith could say.
Yeah.
This I could really feel, you know. So when I started doing things for the sake of Allah, Allah made things easy for me. I have heard many other reward stories in which life has been a little more difficult. But for me, it was not, alhamdulillah, it was not so difficult. And even his family was very, very accepting, and they were very loving to me as their own daughter. And one of the point, again, you know, wearing hijab was quite difficult for me in the beginning because I felt it was affecting my identity. My husband used to say, like, go ahead, wear it. And I was like, no, no. You know, there was a little bit of ego in that. And then I came across an Islamic teacher. She had advised me saying that just do it for the sake of Allah. And don't think about anyone else. Don't think about the society, your family, or anyone else. Just do it for the sake of Allah. Allah will make things easy for you. This advice really touched my heart, and I still strongly believe in it. And I'm very thankful to the sister who gave me this advice. So, and since then, you know, my journey with hijab has been on. So, alhamdulillah, like, you know, having the proper nasiha is very important for a new Muslim.
Yeah.
Yes, and then also, like, within a year, I did my Hajj also. So, like, I had the complete experience, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, that also, like, my husband was kind of like, no, we have to go the next year, we have to do it. And for me, again, it was new because I didn't even know my prayers properly. And I'm like, this is something, you know, it is your, it's something, a fard, and you need to do it properly. It's a, like, one-time opportunity, lifetime opportunity. That time also, I was quite hesitant in the beginning. Again, one of the sisters, she gave me a good advice saying that she once, when she was pregnant, and she had an opportunity for going for Hajj, and she said no to it. And then finally, for some 4 or 5 years, she was not able to go, you know, because of some issues with her passport and all that. So then she said, see, whenever you get a call for Hajj, it's not you who is going. It's the, like, you are a visitor from Allah. It's you're visiting his house. So I love these beautiful advices which I get from.
Alhamdulillah. Like an invitation, right? Allah is calling us to come to his house.
Yeah, it's not when you want to go, you go. It's not like
that.
Yeah. He's calling you and you're just obeying the call, you know?
Yeah.
And you say, Labbaik Allah, you know, it's that's what it means, right? Like, I'm answering your call.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. It's like amazing how. Even like, you know, I can even kind of like understand what you mean by not wanting to wear the hijab because of ego. Because I think it's like, what I have realized is like, you know, it's also what people will think, kind of a thing, you know. Oh my God, suddenly I'm changing this appearance and wearing something. And like, you know, that I can totally understand because I think
it really kind of, you know, you feel this is related to your identity. And, you know, like, how will I go in front of my parents? How will it happen? But one of the things I'll just tell what we did and it did help us is I did change my environment, okay? So if I was working in one college, I changed completely. I went to another new college. All the people, everything was new for me and I was with the job. So they didn't know anything, you know. Then it becomes normal to you. And alhamdulillah, like, when my parents got to know, like, later on, they kind of accepted it. So no issues. So yes, in the beginning it is a little difficult, but once you wear it, you know, you feel you get that sense of independence. You don't feel you are in chains, you know. You feel independent. You know, the best part about hijab, you don't need to dress up, you don't need to wear any jewelry, anything inside, you know. You can just be your own and leave out. Like, somehow you feel, you know, this hijab is also, it kind of relieves you from all the material kind of wanting. This is my personal experience, you know. It has been quite uplifting, alhamdulillah.
True, alhamdulillah. I can relate to that absolutely, because I've never been this jewelry kind of a person from the beginning. In fact, I had people come and tell me, like, you know, I'm talking about years. They would tell me, like, I really want to see you in your wedding, because, like, you know, I want to see what kind of jewelry you're going to wear, because you hardly wear any jewelry kind of a thing, you know. So how? So.
I was quite kind of the opposite person. I used to dress up a lot. I used to wear lots of jewelry. I mean, not jewelry sense, but I had a kind of fashion sense and all that. Listening to music, everything was there.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, somehow I was able to give up everything. And like when I got the hikmah, when I really understood that I had to obey, I had to understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to just follow it. Now it makes so much sense to me. Now listening to anything, you know, any music or so, like I can see that even during Salah, it may just come into my mind. You know, it can be so disturbing. So, alhamdulillah, you know, again, everything is guidance is from Allah. That's all I can say.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So, were there any challenges for you, like, you know, apart from, like, you know, with the hijab, were there any challenges maybe with the iman that you have had in your journey?
Alhamdulillah, I don't think I had any major challenges related to the iman.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm kind of academic person, I am a workaholic. Mm-hmm. So due to work or maybe the physical tiredness, I have delayed prayers, and I have maybe even missed prayers, okay, due to laziness and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I just ask forgiveness, and I try to stay consistent as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the only things I feel that, you know, I kind of have challenges with at times.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, doing the dhikr, everything, I try to keep myself, my tongue moist with dhikr of Allah.
So when you, during these times, like, you know, when you are like slipping once in a while, is there anything that, you know, helps you? In supporting that, like, you know, supporting you to combat that, maybe, like, you know, to overcome that challenge.
I kind of go into a remorse state. I try to, you know, like, really, you know, I'm very upset with myself when I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then another thing which I notice about myself, you know, like, if I'm doing things correctly, like if at the night I have prayed, I have, you know, had all the, you know, adhkar and slept well. So early morning, even without the alarm, I'm able to get up for fajr. So I feel like Allah is waking me up. You know, I just feel like this. So I'm like, and the day I don't do that, or if I have switched off the alarm and slept, then I'm like, okay, maybe Allah is angry with me. Like, you know, I try to do this for myself. So like a constant check for myself. Alhamdulillah. You know, as a female in the house, as a mother in the house, you know, we have to do it. Then only the family, you have to be the one who wakes up the children, the husband, everyone. So if one of us, if I sleep off, then, you know, everyone can get paid. Yeah, so that's how it is. And otherwise, parenting, alhamdulillah, guiding my children to constantly remind them to do good deeds and like charity. All this has, you know, kept me, helping me. It has become a mutual relationship. So they also remind me at the right time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. So like all the time I'm reminding them, then finally they're like, Mama, you forgot, you didn't do like this. So it goes well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That's really nice. Like, you know, it's to me, like, I'm hearing that, like, you know, this want to extend guidance to your children, through your parenting, like, you know, that's kind of like a motivating factor in terms of, like, you know, working on yourself as well, because, like, that's what I'm hearing in what you shared. That
Yes, very true. Actually, because when I tell my son to suppose read the Quran, and I have to listen to him. So then that way I'm also listening to him. I'm correcting him. So that way. And pray. So sometimes I say, come, let's pray together like this. So yes, what you said is very true. Because, you know, we have to be a role model. We cannot, you know, I cannot be watching something and telling them, go do this. No, it will not happen.
Yeah.
So they always love to just imitate what they see. And Yeah, regarding charity, you know, there's something which I just something which I like. Mm-hmm. I always encourage them to give alhamdulillah, and from childhood onwards they are practicing it.
Mm-hmm.
So my elder son, actually, he's even earning, so even when he's earning from that, I try to tell him to, you know, do it. Even something which he loves the most, I try to ask him to share it for the sake of Allah. And so that way, you know, to make them feel for the other other person's difficulties or so. Alhamdulillah. Like I said, sometimes, you know, they give you beautiful reminders, and that's enlightening.
Alhamdulillah. And I'm also just a thought that I had just now when you were talking about charity. It's also like, you know, when you were mentioning about the challenge that you have sometimes, that you miss your prayers, like, you know, which I'm sure, like, you know, it happens to all of us, right? We either delay it or like we miss it sometimes due to various reasons. And I'm looking at charity as like, you know, an ongoing thing, when it's like replacing a bad deed with a good deed. And what best way to do that? Other than charity, you know, subhanAllah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And fasting, I would say, like, also something I feel is easier for me. You know, there are certain good deeds which is easy for you to do. I feel you should do it how much ever possible.
Yeah.
So even for my children, they practice it in a good way. Maybe because they see me, or alhamdulillah, they are motivated to do so.
Mm. Alhamdulillah. So, if there is anything that you'd want our audiences to take away, the listeners to take away from your story, sister, what would that be?
Alhamdulillah, like I still feel that maybe not a toddler, but I'm somewhere in middle school. I still have a long way to go. I really want to learn Arabic, and I'm on my journey to learn more of Arabic. And I would feel quite accomplished if I could understand every ayah or every hadith which I hear in Arabic, and without looking up at its translation. Regarding other sisters, I would just say that even if you know one ayah or one word, try to spread as much as possible. Try to follow Islam. Not just you know, speak out, but you have to show it in actions. And obviously, like in parenting, if you see, it is what the children are going to imbibe from you. Alhamdulillah, we need to bring up a strong ummah together.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. I'm taking away this huge for myself, like, you know, for me, it's like I see that passion that you have in, like, you know, being a role model to your children, and in turn, like, you know, even serving yourself in that aspect, or in terms of your deen. Subhanallah. That's, I think, my takeaway from your story. Alhamdulillah. Although I do try to be that role model for my children myself, but this is what stood out for me, like, you know, in what you shared. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma barik.
Thank you. It was wonderful talking to you.
Same here. Jazakallah khairan for accepting my invitation and being here and sharing your valuable story and inspirations with all of us.
I hope the audience will benefit from this little talk.
Inshallah. That's the hope. Inshallah. So, alhamdulillah. I would like to thank my listeners also, like, for staying with us and being part of this beautiful journey, inshallah. So once again, jazakallahu khairan, sis. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
You were listening to the Nafs Connection podcast, brought to you by Level 10 Muslima Life Coaching. To learn more about me and what I do, visit www.level10muslima.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram under level10muslima.life.coaching. Stay tuned for more such content. This is your host, Seema Umrayan, signing off. Until next time, stay blessed.